is number 07-1138, Muhammad Ali A. Khan against the Attorney General. Just let counsel have a moment to get settled. Thank you, Ms. Sharma Crawford. You may begin now.
May it please the court and counsel. My name is Rekha Sharma Crawford, and I represent the petitioner, Muhammad Azam Khan, in this matter. Your Honors, the question before this court is relatively straightforward. It is a case where, when you look at the totality of the record, when you look at what has occurred in this case, it is clear that Mr. Khan did not receive a full and fair hearing. The Board of Immigration Appeals makes two very important findings. First, they say that the immigration judge did, in fact, make a full or correct factual finding. And secondly, they say that the balancing of the equities that occurred through the immigration court was also proper. The flaw in that logic is that when you look at that record, it is clear that it is incomplete. And so the question becomes that can a judge and can the board make a discretionary determination on an incomplete record? The immigration judge makes certain findings as well. One, he concedes in his opinion that the record is not well developed. In fact, he says that the wife, who is in fact the petitioner for the respondent in the immigration setting, which would be Mr. Khan. So Mr. Khan's wife applied for him to be able to remain in the United States. In any adjustment of status case, the spouse, who is the United States citizen, is the key witness. They carry a lot of information that which the court must readily evaluate. For example, the hardships that exist as to in making the determination as to whether an individual can remain in the United States or not remain in the United States comes directly from the petitioning spouse. Here, what we do know, what the record is clear about, is that counsel for Mr. Khan at the immigration proceeding calls the wife as a witness. He says, "My next witness is the wife. I wish to call her." After that, the next thing to appear in the record is that the case has been continued. There is nothing in the record that indicates what happened to this witness that was clearly called by counsel.
And no objection by her attorney. By his attorney, am I correct?
Well, Judge, it seems like there was some kind of a conversation, obviously that occurred out of or off the record, by which some sort of a conversation and agreement was made. That's why they continued the hearing. But what that is remains a mystery to all of us, including the board. So clearly the case gets continued to the next hearing where the wife could have testified, would have testified. Again, the record is completely silent. But what we know is that this crucial witness is someone who never testifies. It becomes even more important because if you look at the immigration judge's decision, he calls upon that issue a number of times. He will indicate that, well, the wife was never called and she had all of this information as to hardship. Again, silent even in the judge's decision as to what that conversation was that ultimately led to a witness that was called not being allowed to testify.
Before the board, was any representation made as to what testimony she would give?
Yes, Judge, it was made. In fact, the hardships that exist for the wife are basically, and there were a number of issues that were raised in front of the board, and the board ultimately, if you look at the board's decision, the board says, well, even though there are all of these other issues claimed of and all of these other matters raised, we're only going to be looking at the fact that since it was a discretionary denial, was that discretionary denial proper? But again, even with that information in front of the board never says, What happened to this hearing? What happened to this witness? It is a fundamental statutory right and a regulatory right that exists and has been recognized time and time again, including by this court, that an alien has the right to present their evidence. They have a fundamental right to a full and fair hearing. And in the instance here, that does not occur. And as a result, what occurs is you have a board making a small isolated decision. You have a IJ making a decision that is also based on an incomplete record. And so you have nothing to indicate what was actually considered. So not only do you have a flawed hearing in the immigration court, you have a flawed review with the Board of Immigration Appeals because they don't even address all of the issues that were raised. In reaching the decision, the board indicates two things. They say, well, we find that there were equities that were properly balanced. Apart from the fact that it is impossible for the board to know what equities were balanced when, in fact, the record is incomplete. And, in fact, the immigration judge himself indicates that the record is not well developed. More importantly, there is the case where the board, as well as the immigration judge, gets wrapped up in two issues. They are talking about, and actually the crux of the board's concern, as well as the immigration judge's concern, is an asylum application that Mr. Khan filed under the leadership or under the guidance of his first attorney, Mr. Bonwa. Now, that becomes clearly a crucial issue throughout the trial, throughout the representation. In fact, so much as I think at one point the immigration judge even continues it, because this is such an overwhelming, continuing theme that has caused concern to the immigration court. The petitioner's wife was also an employee of Mr. Bonwa. And that becomes critical because that testimony becomes crucial to what happened when this application was filed, what was the dynamics between these individuals, what happened that caused Mr. Khan to then come in, get substitute counsel. He ends up filing a bar complaint against Mr. Bonwo in the State Bar of New York, and there is an in absentia order that is reopened specifically because of the misconduct of Mr. Bonwo. So, again, more information that clearly is a concern for the immigration judge, but yet we cannot address because the wife has not testified. That statutory violation, that regulatory violation, is something that this court has the jurisdiction to review, should review, and based on that, find that the hearing was, in fact, fundamentally flawed. If that was insufficient, then the question becomes, when you look at it and you say, well, was she
You're
even
prejudiced?
You're
into your rebuttal time, do you know?
I'm sorry, Judge?
You're into your rebuttal time.
That's fine, Judge. And if there are no other questions, then I will save the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you, Ms. Sharma Crawford. We'll hear from Ms. Nyberg for the government.
May it please the Court. My name is Rebecca Nyberg, here on behalf of the Attorney General of the United States. We're asking you here to affirm the immigration judge and the Board of Immigration Appeals decision denying Mr. Khan's application for adjustment of status. This court may not review the discretionary decision denying relief to Mr. Khan, as petitioner has not raised questions of law, only questions of whether the immigration judge and the board correctly weighed the factors, which is not a legal question, it's merely a factual question. Also, the argument of the due process violation would be reviewable, but an alleged procedural violation during the hearing does not amount to a liberty interest that would invoke that due process right, and no prejudice was suffered. Thus, the due process argument here does not apply.
So would there be any kind of a procedural defect that would be cognizable by us?
If it was a statutory violation, then that would fall under the due process argument. However, what they're alleging here is a violation of internal rules of what the immigration judge is supposed to do.
Those internal rules are enacted by the service, are they not pursuant to statute?
They are pursuant to statute in that the service is allowed to enact its own rules.
Is there any authority that you cannot have a due process violation for a violation of internal rules enacted pursuant to statute?
Indeed, Your Honor, there are several cases cited in our brief to that prospect, and please excuse me, one of the names is too long for me to pronounce, but I would point you to our brief in that respect.
I think that does not amount to a question of law.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
That does not amount to a question of law, the violation of your rules.
That is separate from our question of whether the adjustment of status application is done correctly. We're talking about an overall due process argument. So it's a bit of a dichotomy here and a bit of an artificial one, granted.
Yeah, that's my problem.
But what we're talking about here is basically their assertion that their due process rights were violated by not having the wife testify.
So what you're saying is that there can be an absolute sham of a hearing, and as long as a statute hasn't been violated, you guys are golden. We can't touch it.
Your Honor, we would assert that there is no possibility of having a sham hearing without going against one of these statutory rights.
Well, let's take a look at this thing. I mean, the assertion is that the key witness wasn't allowed to testify.
And, Your Honor, that's a great assertion, but there's nothing in the record to support that. What we have here is, contrary to their assertion, there is a description in the record of what went on while the tape recorder was stopped.
Why don't you tell us about that?
Certainly, Your Honor. The immigration judge was looking at the response of the bar from New York responding to the complaint filed against Mr. Banwell. And the immigration judge is very troubled by the procedures and what the New York bar does with such complaints under the Lozada requirement, that being they don't consider them. They wait until the immigration court's proceedings are finalized, and then perhaps they'll look at them again. That's something that the New York bar has decided to do in light of the numerous Lozada complaints that have been filed. I understand the immigration judge's concerns about what went on and how that could affect his hearing. But when he comes back on the record, he says, we have discussed, let me quote it directly for you off of administrative record, page 281, we had a brief off-the-record discussion concerning the letter from the Bar Commission. That statement, in conjunction with the concerns that were expressed before they went off the record, indicates that that's what they were discussing. And it has nothing to do with, you know, the tape recorder being turned off during the pendency of the wife's testimony or anything to that degree, which is something that petitioner has argued in the brief.
And the judge put this case back on the master calendar, am I right?
That is correct, Your Honor. They said that they would put that over.
And then what happened?
The decision was issued. There was no further hearing. However, there was no motion to reconsider in front of the immigration judge that said, hey, you said we could come back and have the wife testify, anything of that nature. There was no objection on the record after that brief off-the-record discussion.
Because at that point, the petitioner was represented by this lawyer who was also under complaint, am I correct?
Mr. Chavez, I'm unaware of any complaints against Mr. Chavez. The only complaints I'm aware of
under the earlier lawyer
are against Mr. Banwell. That's correct.
So we have just no idea what happened.
To some extent, Your Honor, that is true.
The IJ never said anything about it in his opinion.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Who's the IJ?
I'm sorry, I don't have that in front of me.
This was one of those situations where it was remote by video?
That's correct, Your Honor. The immigration judge was sitting in Chicago, and I believe the parties were in Nebraska at the time. Even assuming that there was some sort of problem with the immigration judge not explaining why the wife was not testifying, an explanation of what went on to, you know, precipitate that decision that the wife would not testify, there's no prejudice here because the discretionary determination by the immigration judge says, I assume there is a hardship. He assumed that, you know, because of the child's autism, because of the wife's problems, the, you know, overall the family situation. He says, I assume there's a hardship, but in the exercise of my discretion, I'm not going to allow this adjustment of status. And so there does not seem to be any prejudice here. The wife could have come on and testified pursuant to all of the documents that were supplied about the medical records, the hardship the child faces, the schooling, all of those problems. And he still says, assuming that hardship, discretionarily, I'm going to deny this application for relief. And as Your Honors are aware, a due process argument does require that some prejudice be shown, and they simply cannot show any prejudice in this case. In addition, I wanted to clear up a misstatement by Petitioner's Counsel earlier. If you look on page 23 of the administrative record, that's the brief to the board, there was no such proffer as to what the wife would testify about. Instead, it says, look at the documents. Here's our prejudice. Here's our problem. Look at our documents, not here's what the wife would say. So we're looking at a case where the immigration judge and the board did look at what the hardship would be. They knew the child was autistic. They knew that there were problems.
What was the connection between the wife and the documents with regard to the disciplinary matter?
With regard to the disciplinary matter?
New York disciplinary matter.
As far as I know, there's no connection between those two. The disciplinary matter was before they were even married. Was for actions that had been undertaken before they were married.
But they were raised at the same time in this off-the-record?
Conceivably, Your Honor. What the transcript indicates is that there was only a discussion about what was going on with the New York bar complaint, and I think it's fairly easy to read into the record. The reason that it was continued was to see if perhaps petitioner could not get the New York bar to actually take some action or to do something so that the immigration judge would have the benefit of the New York bar action or New York bar investigation. It seems pretty clear from the record that that's what went on when the tape recorder was off and nothing further. If this court should reverse the decision, you're in essence punishing the government for an incomplete record that was not due to the government's actions. It was due to petitioner's failure to object during the hearing, say, hey, before we adjourn for this New York bar complaint, we've already called the wife, can she go ahead and testify? There was nothing in the record that indicated up until the appeal that there was some sort of problem with her not.
IJ has some obligation to protect his record, too, doesn't he?
Indeed, Your Honor, and that's the essence of the due process claim on their part, is that they weren't allowed to present evidence. And there's nothing in the record to indicate that. The wife was called. There was no objection. They were allowed to put on evidence. The parties apparently...
Well, how did this actually happen? The wife was called. Counsel for the petitioner says, we'd like to call whatever her name is to testify, right?
Yes.
And then what happened?
They went off the record to discuss this New York bar complaint. It was clear that the IJ was still troubled. It seems as if maybe there was a pause. The IJ was still thinking, said, we'd like to call the wife. Well, let me go off the record for a second. They come back on and say, we've been discussing this New York bar complaint. It's a very clear continuation for what is on the record based on what is said afterwards.
Help me out. Why would he logically want to talk about this bar complaint at that part of the procedure? It just seems odd that he'd want to do that.
Your Honor, it actually seems to make some sort of sense because he was determining what the misconduct of Mr. Banwo, and you know, I think we can all agree here that there was misconduct on Mr. Banwo's part, to the extent might be a little bit arguable, but there was some misconduct on Mr. Banwo's part, and the IJ wanted to know what was the extent of it, what was going on, and it seems clear from the record that the immigration judge thought that the New York bar could investigate Mr. Banwo and really come to the heart of the matter and see exactly what the misconduct was.
Why would he raise that when he did in the proceedings? What was the was there any relationship between the allegations against this lawyer and the wife that would make him do this at that point?
No, Your Honor. In fact, the testimony seems to indicate that the wife's testimony was kind of interjected into the middle of a discussion about the New York bar complaint. After Mr. Khan testified, they started discussing Mr. Bonwo discussing the bar complaint about halfway through. I don't know. It could have been longer afterwards because it was off the record. But they were discussing the bar complaint. Then Mr. Khan's attorney said, I'd like to call the wife. And then they continued talking about the bar complaint. So it was Mr. Khan's wife's testimony that was kind of interjected into the middle of this conversation more than them having a relationship with one another or the bar complaint being pulled out of thin air to talk about at that particular time. I do see that my time has run out. If there are no further questions.
Apparently not. Thank you, Ms. Steinberg.
Thank you.
How much time does Ms. Sharma Crawford have? Fine. We had a little extra colloquy with government counsel, so we're going to make that 3 minutes, okay?
Thank you, Your Honor. Your Honor, let me first begin by addressing one of the questions that His Honor asked, which was who was the IJ, the immigration judge's, Judge Fujimoto, and he is from the Chicago Immigration Court. Secondly, Judge, the issue of whether or not the operating procedures that are created by an agency are meant to aid in applying the law. They don't just come out with these agency regulations or these agency rules just out of thin air. They come up with them in order to more effectively make sure that there is no statutory violation. Here, the courts, the statute and the regulations provide for a full and fair hearing. They allow the alien to present their witnesses and to present whatever evidence they wish in support of their claims. The agency memorandum, the internal operating procedure, does nothing more than simply help guide that statute or guide the immigration judge to make sure that they don't violate that statute. So when the government indicates that that is not enough for a due process violation, we would submit that that isn't really a fair analysis of what those internal operating procedures do. The off-the-record conversation, it's interesting because the conversation and the quote that counsel did provide to the court talks about how there was the issue about Mr. Bonwell. But we don't know if they discussed anything off the record or whether an objection was made off the record about letting the wife testify. None of that is there, Your Honors. We don't know how long the off-the-record conversation took place. We don't know what all was covered. The only thing we have is we have a brief synopsis from the immigration judge saying this is what was discussed. Although we would submit, we don't know what the full scope of that was. I would like to leave this court with a final thing, and that is in October of this year, Judge Wood from this court indicated in Sanchez v. Keisler that discretion must be made in decisions must be made that are discretionary in based on legal claims on the basis of a presentation that is fair to the alien. So, yes, while the government wishes to classify this as a purely discretionary decision, it's clear that this court has previously held that that discretion must be exercised in the context of a full and fair hearing, which simply did not occur here. And for that reason, we would ask that this petition be granted. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. I thank